This time I will call to order the Coburn Town Council workshop meeting for Monday, March the 25th, 2024. Kathy, if you'll do a roll call vote, please.
Carlos Collins. Jeff Cousin.
Here.
Devontae Mooney.
Here.
Joe Steele.
Here.
Sharon Steele.
Here.
Okay, we do have a quorum present, so we can proceed with the meeting. Next up is the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask everyone, or invocation, and then I ask everyone to please remain standing for the pledge. Mr. Steele.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this very day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for letting us be able to gather here this night for the town's business. And I ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding and guidance in our decisions to further the town of Coburn and its people. And just want to thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, in this very special week that we celebrate. And I ask these prayers according to your will, in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item is public expression. Any citizen, taxpayer, or interested persons are welcome to come forth and state his or her views concerning the town. Please state your name and physical address and limit your comments and or questions to 5 minutes. A reply to your comments and or questions will be discussed at the following council meeting. Do we have anyone for public expression? Okay, seeing no one come forth, we will close public expression. Does anyone have a response to public expression from the last meeting?
I think that most all of it we told him. He asked about his water bill, Gary Taylor, and the convenience fee, and then the charge for the Visa card, which is a normal fee that we charge. And then we put on there, when was it, July of last year, for the water tank cleaning?
Right.
And that's been on there since last July. That was during our budget hearing. And that money is set aside just for cleaning our water tanks, because they're quite expensive to have them cleaned and repaired. And our sewer bill has been 130%, is that correct?
Yes, for
130% of our water.
In town and 158.
And that's because it's contracted out to C&W, and the rate for C&W is set by them to what we have to pay. And so we pay that, you all pay us. That's how we pay to get our sewer out of here. And those are the fees that are on your water bill at this time. And when I look it up, and before we made these decisions, I researched. Lenovisco has a page that you can go to, and it shows every rate in every town, whether it's water, sewer, it doesn't matter. It's all on there, PSA included. And it tells where everybody stands. And we are pretty much in the middle to the bottom. We have never, ever charged more than other towns do. And there's a couple of towns that I'm pretty glad I live in Coburn. So that's what I know about our water bill and that information that he wanted last week. We kind of hit it a little bit, but that was more of that. Tommy Fannin, he's not here, but whatever the VFW does, I'm always for behind backing them anyway. So that was the only one I think that we needed to further explain about the water bill.
Okay, any other response? Okay, the next item is the approval of the agenda. It can be amended by majority vote. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? I'd like to add under Old Business A, discussion of the service agreement for solid waste collection.
Second.
Motion and a second to add under Old Business A, service agreement for solid waste collection. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any other additions or deletions? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda as presented here and amended.
Okay, second. We have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have an agenda. The first item is reports. Fire department. I do not see a representative from the fire department here. Do we have anything from them?
I have none.
Okay, the next item is B, police department, Chief Mullins.
Mayor, council. Just a few updates. Since we have passed the ordinances for the leash law and traffic ordinance, both have been extremely successful. To date, we've given over 24 warnings for the leash law violation. We've seized 4 dogs and issued 1 summons. We've had a lot of positive feedback from the community. So it's honestly, it seems like the just putting it into place has drove a lot of people into compliance. So that's been very effective. We've had, I think, as of today, at least 8 traffic summons that's been written under the local ordinance. So those are working well as that ordinance is working well for us as well. But we're still very busy, on high call volume, and we're plugging away at things. Wednesday of last week, I was contacted from the Highway Safety Grant coordinator for the region, and he advised that our grant application went to review at Richmond, and it passed that hurdle. That's the largest hurdle, so it gets referred to NHTSA now. Sometime between now and July, they will make the determination if we get approved and then for what the amount will be. So sometime around August or September is when we would find out the amount. So the biggest hurdle we have passed, and so we're about 90 or 95% of the way of getting that grant back. So those are things that are going well. But pending any other questions from you all.
All right, questions for Chief Mullins.
Inventory in the
evidence
room.
So we are working on that slowly. The challenge that we're running into is just the high call volume that we're having. It makes it very difficult for us to find the time. We would start on it and get pulled away. This afternoon, I think Randall and myself, we weren't in office from lunchtime on. So we are working towards that. The plan is to get, there's a large number of items that are eligible for destruction again. We're wanting to get those items finalized, get the court approval for this destruction, and then that will leave a fewer number of items that we'll actually have to go through for the audit. The equipment inventory, that's going slowly as well, working with Officer Elkins on that. But hopefully we'll be able to get some more leeway if things will kind of steady off. But honestly, the call volume is just making it very challenging.
Okay, this is probably a question both for you and Mr. Sturgill, both. Where we've changed over to town ordinances on the citations, does that change the fact that the attorney or the Commonwealth Attorney's Office is still trying those cases for COVID?
They are still trying them.
Okay, very good.
Yep, they are. So the ones that we've had, we've had a few of those cases, those summons that have been set for April. Over half of them have been set for the May docket. So we'll start seeing how those kind of actually pan out in court in the next, court date or two. So.
And I've talked to the Commonwealth Attorney's Office in the past, and they have the authority to prosecute the local ordinances, and if they've got any questions, they contact me.
I think it was actually a push from their office for us to go to adopting that local ordinance.
Yes.
It tends to work out better that way. They kind of keep a hand on all the charges, whether it's from a summons all the way up to a criminal charge or felony offense. And that way, if they know that somebody has already been given a break on A and B, they know not to give them a break on C, or at least that's should be the plan. Courts are having a little bit different opinion right now. Some of our people are on the short list of how long their durations are.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions? Just like to add in a comment, of course, as the weather is getting warmer, if we can make sure that we're patrolling and keeping a close eye on the parks, yes, that would be appreciated.
Okay. And thank you for the escort last night, making sure that happened. We appreciated it at school this morning.
All right, thank you. Next item is water plant, Mr. Markham. Don't see him. You have anything from him?
In regards to the water plant, I received an email from Virginia Health Department Office of Drinking Water, and we have received the 2023 Excellence in Waterworks Operations / Performance Award, and that award will be given out on April the 4th in Roanoke, which I plan on to attend.
And what, which kind of award, where do we get to go?
It's the Excellence Award. It's the highest one.
So that means we have excellent water.
We are good.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Mr. Williams?
What is water plant? Town manager.
Oh, regarding the water plant, do you have any questions? Sorry.
No.
All right, now, town manager report, Mr. Williams, what do you have for us?
Oh, most everything I have that I can remember right now, it deals with the agenda. It's been trying a couple weeks, but I will answer whatever question.
Questions for Mr. Williams?
So I'm going to ask, have we sent letters out to any of the buildings and places in town to where we can move ahead with cleanups and putting liens on their properties, that type of stuff?
I have not.
Because summer's coming, and right now, I mean, it's very visible, and you know which one I'm going to go to. I'm going to turn up by the pool. And I know she lives.
Well, that's not business, but I've already got a letter to her.
She's already got the letter?
Yeah.
And her, has her time elapsed?
I won't say yes, but I'm 100% sure.
I would like to check on that.
I supposed came in with the list of the ones that I have sent out, and I failed to get that together.
So. Because if we're going to, so it appears that we're going to be the ones that clean it up. And we'll be the ones hauling it down to the dump, and they're going to have to keep man hours on how much time we spend there, the fees that it charges us to take it down there and do all this stuff, and keep a running record of that so that we can put a lien on her property. And I would like to get that cleaned up before summer, because I hate for summer to come and have public works up there, or if we can get our contract back with Camp 18 to have them come in and clean it up.
You still have the contract, they just don't have anybody to give us.
They can't give us anybody. But if we could, you know, work it out with them, that would be nice, to get that hauled off before snakes and the rats and things get more prevalent. Yeah.
When was that contract with Camp 18? I know it was like 2 years ago that it was signed. What was that? Was that a two-year contract, or do you remember? Is there a one-year contract?
I think it's yearly.
And then we probably don't have a contract with them. You haven't signed one, have you?
I signed one. Mm-hmm. It's probably middle of the year, 2023.
Okay.
It was updating the first one with the name changes, because they changed up there as well.
And she's changed again.
Again?
Yeah, Jessica's not there anymore.
Somebody.
So, yeah, we need to contact them.
Aware of that, so.
Contact them and see, you know, if we can get that on their thing. You know, April is cleanup month, so it would be a good time. And especially if her letter has already been sent and she is aware that her time, you know, I think that's what we had to do legally, was to give her notification. And then after that, she knew. And that goes along with all these other. If you've sent letters, we need to follow up.
We went over and took pictures of the trailer over on Hamilton, I think, or Kaiser
Central.
Central. I'm getting ready to send out.
I think at the last meeting, I asked for it to be ready at the next voting meeting. So will you?
Voting.
Yeah. So will you have? Yeah.
Sorry,
it wasn't. No, it wasn't tonight.
Okay.
Will you have time to have that by the next by the April meeting? Okay.
We've kicked around this whole thing, cleaning these places up, for quite a few years, and I'm I'm done. I want it done.
Can I hire somebody to spearhead the cleanliness?
What do you mean?
What's a good terminology for one?
In reality, and your chief of police is not going to like this, okay? I'm going to forewarn you to begin with. But in our ordinances, there is a compliance officer position, and that compliance officer position is part of the police department. So, I mean, of course, I know you guys are pretty well strapped right now because you're still shorthanded and everything. I understand that. But, I mean, you know, it is in place for someone to be, you know, enforcing that. If you get the manpower.
Is that like for the nuisance?
That's just a compliance officer, period.
Yeah, to meet the our ordinances that we already have in place, which is like cars, junk, trucks, stuff that don't run, all those things that don't meet our... And then this, I guess, write it up when they're out patrolling, just write up an address.
So, so you're aware, I've started a spreadsheet for the street signs and street lights that we're starting to collect. I'm going to share that with Jimmy and Jeff and his crew here shortly. We're still composing that. I can make a tab for the same thing for the properties. When in discussion with Will, I think as far as the ordinances goes, it really is just going to come down to a matter of how aggressive the council and the town is wanting to be on the properties. Because if you compare the ordinances from different towns to each other, there's a lot of the same verbiage, but there's also a lot of variances as well. So it's just a matter of how aggressive and what the steps are to levy those issues and changes will be. So I think it's something to pass back to see, you know, what guidance you all have. And as far as the PD goes, you know, I don't have a problem. We can appoint someone as that, as a spearhead for that. But realistically, the whole department's going to be involved. Like, whatever your wishes are and whatever ordinances we can get put into place, we're going to enforce them.
Well, I like the idea. Just, you know, as you doing what you've been doing with the street signs and stuff, and everybody kind of being a part of it, and then bringing to Jimmy the list that shows where we're out of, where people are out of compliance. And then, Will, if you could look at those ordinances on, I think it's abandoned vehicles, trash, I forgot all the headings that falls under, but it's all in there.
If I remember correctly, we discussed this about 7 or 8 months ago, and what we were talking about then is the tags themselves being one of the crucial points of this, that if a vehicle is parked and has expired license plates on it, then, you know, is it out of compliance, I guess is the question.
It is. I've ran into that. My sister ran into that in D.C. with the same situation. If the vehicle is not tagged and doesn't have a Virginia sticker on it, then it's not a drivable car. And
we'll just have to see how our ordinance
is. Yeah, and see how it is. Because her father-in-law just went ahead and built a building around his car so you couldn't see them. You enclosed them so you couldn't see them. And well, that's fine. Put them in your garage.
You know, but the other part of the equation, though, you've got to be, you know, aware of when you try to enforce this, is that, you know, you do have businesses in town that do auto repair.
Right.
You have businesses
if
in
you're
town
not a
that
business,
do
this was I think
repair
this is,
of cars, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, but it's this.
You have people that are restoring vehicles in town. Most of those, I think, try to do that inside of a garage facility. Right.
But I think that when you read the ordinance on it, it is private residential and having 15 cars in your driveway and 3 of them up on cinder blocks, no tires.
Yard decoration.
Yard art.
The other thing with what you just said, you've got to be aware of, and I think your chief of police and Jimmy both can probably put more information on this, is my understanding that if you're active military, and you have insurance on your car in order to, something to deal with your insurance, it's got to be up on blocks with the wheels off of it. Is that correct?
So there's some specific verbiage for military personnel that in recent years the code has actually changed for even expired tags and stuff like that. So now law enforcement can't intervene until the first day of the fourth month after expiration. So your yearly renewal is actually a 15-month annual. So that's for your inspection sticker and your registrations. So that's why the working with Will is so important. Is some of these laws have shifted quite a bit as far as verbiage goes, and some have sunset. And so it's just a matter of making sure that we're tailoring it to the aggressiveness that the council wants, and it's also in compliance with the state code.
Plus, if you're military and you live outside of Virginia, you can still drive on the tags until you get Virginia limits.
Yeah.
And then you have to get them done. If you're overseas and your vehicle's stored here in Virginia, like my son is, if the tags expired on that car, I cannot drive it in Virginia. But it doesn't. The fines or whatever won't apply toward him as the driver. So there's all kinds of different.
Our cars were always Virginia tagged, and we didn't live here.
It works.
So, yeah, being in compliance with the law and following up and figuring out what we can and cannot do. And it's just mainly to clean up and make things look better. And that same thing with that, some of our businesses, to have some of those cleaned up on Front Street and make those more appealing. And I know there's a legal line I can't cross, but at the same time, I think there's things that can be done. And I think that would be something we should definitely look at.
So if you all will just go ahead and sounds to me like you all already have a good plan started. So if you want to just on that tab, start keeping up with addresses and then then passing it along. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Williams? All right. Hearing none, Public Works, Mr. Livings.
What I got for tonight is that we repaired 2-inch water line on at the prep plant. The fire hydrant that's over on Crab Orchard Road, it belongs to the county. It's not ours.
Okay. Have they been contacted?
Yeah, I contacted him and he's supposed to be checking on it, but I hadn't heard back from him yet.
Okay.
Replace the lights, bulbs behind the Lakes building. We got the light fixture back up on the brick sidewalk. We got the caboose. We got the lights fixed on the caboose. The antique light, we got it put back up on the brick sidewalk. We repaired the water leak on Crab Orchard Road with 2-inch. We jetted sewer line on Beach Street. We jetted sewer line behind State Farm. We repaired the water leak at the old J. Mack building. And we went and made a water tap on Greer's Lane today. We repaired a water leak on Starling Lane this morning, and we did 180 work orders. And that's all I got.
Heard you talking about replacing lights. Have you ordered the lights to be replaced on in the bulbs?
I ordered them, and the other lights, I just was wondering why they all went out or got dim, whatever. Those lights that we originally had, small print on the box, says not for enclosed fixtures.
Oh.
So if that's probably the reason, I would think. But
yeah,
I've got some lights. In fact, they should be here tomorrow.
Okay. For Front Street?
For Front Street.
Okay. All right.
And actually, they were cheaper than the other ones.
Okay.
And I got in contact with David Carter, and he's supposed to be coming, I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend, to repair that pump supply, swimming pool.
Repair the pumps or
the,
hook up
the
pump, slides?
The plumbing in slides.
Plumbing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heat pump. Has he ever given us a quote for that? Has he ever given us a quote for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the plumbing of the slides?
Yeah,
he brought
last
it.
Time.
I don't remember what it was, but yeah, he did bring a quote.
We voted on it.
Jeff, a couple of three things. I noticed on the way in here tonight, we've still got Christmas tree lights on the depot. Outside.
Well, right here. We've got to take them off. I'll get them off of tomorrow.
Okay. And the town seal that goes on the stage itself, it's one of those styrofoam type seals, isn't it? Probably needs to go ahead and go back up before it gets damaged wherever it's at.
Okay.
So it needs to go back up on the stage.
Okay.
And if I can read my writing. At the MEOC building, the back door is getting ready to be easily gotten into again.
Oh, we fixed it.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it fixed.
Good. I know they contacted you or not.
Yeah. We repaired it, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago.
Okay, great. You get by easy.
Heat pump at your building.
Oh, yeah. They got it all in. Well, that's a long story. You want to tell me what we tell them?
Let's hear about this heat pump, air conditioner, heat, no heat.
We got a estimate on it. You guys gave us the okay to order it. We ordered it, but the person that wrote the order up put the wrong number down. And instead of getting a heat pump, we have an AC unit with electric heat. Jeff has contacted them. I'm in the process of trying to contact David, is that his name?
Yeah, David. Yeah.
David. Today I won't have a chance to give them a call. But we do have both the shipping invoice along with the original quote. And last conversation Jeff had with them said that we can pay to get that one back for shipping. And then there's a restock fee, and I'm arguing that. So.
And who made the mistake?
Yeah, they did.
They did?
And I tried to call him back and let him know, and he tried to throw me off like I ordered it and didn't tell him. I said, well, you go back and look at how many heat pumps I didn't order off y'all. And I didn't order them, just a straight central air. You know, I said, go back and look at it. So he went back and looked at them, and he said, well, that's when you need it. If you want to send it back, you have to be restocking fee. And all that, he tried to get me around the rope and everything. I asked him, let me speak to Dave or let me speak to Sherman. When I talked to him, he said, they're busy right now. And I'll just take care of this. He said, well, I went back on your, well, you brought so many heat pumps in, and I marked right there on your list, don't give you on central air no more. So I figured they made a mistake. That's why he didn't want to do anything. And I hadn't heard from him since.
So you are in the process of trying to correct this.
Yes.
Okay, will you please keep us updated? And
sounds like Will's going to
contact
be involved
Will
in that again.
If Will needs to be. If Will needs to be
because
involved.
if it's the mistake,
I should
mistake,
be an expert at this.
I just had one conversation
Will
before I called.
That's fine.
If it was their mistake, then I don't think there's no way that I'm responsible for the.
Because I went back and ordered one for myself too, you know, and had to put in, and got it in and everything, and the coil's bad. So I called them and told them that the coil was bad on there. They said, yeah, we'll send you another coil. That's going to cost you $300 to send it. I said, well, the heat pump is under warranty. Well, I got to pay $300. He said, you're going to pay $300 right there before we send it to you. So
we might have to readjust
find us
a new place if this is going to continue to be a problem.
Yeah, I told Jeff it may be the last time we get to talk.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
All right. I noticed... Actually, I got a call and then I rode by up on the 4-lane. It's going to be westbound, basically right up above my house. There's several bags of trash that are thrown out on the side of the road.
So there's no several bags of trash there. It's now in the ditch line. No bags are present.
There's still a couple bags in.
Really?
Yeah, because I drove by this afternoon.
Okay, it must be new because I looked the other day and that ditch line is white.
And I think it's been there for a little bit. I never go that way. So, but if we can try our best to get that cleaned up.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Livingston? Do you have anything else for us?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Next, the Lane Group. I do not see Mr. Mullins present. Do we have anything from him?
He called me earlier in reference to the training that they're going to have here. I sent you all an email on that.
Yes.
Is anybody going to attend?
What day is that?
I was hoping you remember.
I believe it's the 11th, if I remember correctly.
It's the 11th. Okay.
I believe. Don't hold me to that. I'm going to try to attend if I can.
You can try to attend, can't you? What time?
It is
10 to 12. April the 11th.
I will be in Virginia Beach at a conference, so I will not be able to attend.
You a driver?
I may.
See, I said driver.
Go ahead and put me down, and I will fix that so that I can take off from work.
Yeah.
So we don't have two, right?
I want two, but
no.
Council members in this part here for that.
You don't have to call me.
What are you talking about?
If we get three versus two, is that?
It's not a meeting.
Okay. It's still not, unless we start talking about literally town business at that. But if it's a training that's involving, and there's three people.
Lodge County wide.
That's not a meeting.
Okay, good. Well, that's what we was talking about. Chris asked to make sure it wasn't be an issue.
No, that's not an issue.
I didn't think it was. Put that in the calendar. Remind me.
Meeting on the 11th.
From 10 to 11.
All right. Anything else regarding the Lane Group?
I've got a letter that I need to sign where we selected them as our engineers. I got that today. I'm not taking care of that part yet. But.
So if you haven't read the Cofield today from the Lane Group, there is an article about the copper lead thing in the Cofield this today.
Tomorrow's.
And also,
tomorrow's.
I've got it on our webpage and Facebook link to where residents can start feeding the information into the.
It is in the paper for tomorrow.
I think it went live on Thursday or Wednesday. I can't remember which one. I've got three responses so far. But tomorrow we're going to start with the phone calls again. We get a lot better turnout with the phone calls.
All right. Next up is Treasurer Clerk, Mrs. Sharp.
Tonight's report, I've included a copy of our total accounts payable due, $5,058.28. The interim accounts payable were $61,933.65. March 11th public hearing meeting and March 11th regular meeting minutes will be distributed with April 8th council packets. Our posted cash balance as of Thursday, March 21st, was $223,996.34. We had $129,489.67 in outstanding checks and total accounts payable due $5,058.28, leaving a balance of $89,448.39. Since I prepared those reports, we've had three additional deposits. Thursday's deposit, $5,093.73. Friday's deposit, $18,301.80. And today's deposit is $6,002.13 for a combined total cash availability of $118,846.05. You have copies of our total cash availability report for the month of March current and the cash comparison report as well.
All All right, questions for Mrs. Sharp?
I have one. On the ARPA funds, I noticed the charge for the sewer department, Bondtown 10-inch pipe. Did we vote on that during the meeting? To take that out of the ARPA funds?
For Bondtown?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When did we do that? February?
I can't remember it because there was a delay in getting the manhole made, I guess.
I couldn't remember it when I saw that, and I'm like, I don't remember doing that. So I was just checking. I found it. Fix sewer out of ARPA funds. December the 11th, would that sound right?
Probably.
But it was for $12,000 in.
She said it was, she has a note for
$12,000 to fix sewer out of the ARPA funds, and the bill was $22,000.
Is that the same thing?
I don't know. I'm looking.
It should be the same thing. That's the only thing we have going on. I know the need to have to place the manhole, and then they had to do something to the manhole they ran into because it was collapsing. So they repaired parts of it. They ran into a sewer drainage pipe too that had to be replacing. What else, Jeff? Anything?
So it just escalated over the 12.
I know, and the estimates of the price of the pipe and all that changes every 6.5 days, seems like it. So. But the biggest weight was for that manhole.
Right. When we've approved something for a certain amount, and then it runs over, I would like to be notified that what we approved and how much it went over would happen, that we would know about it. And then I wouldn't be asking this question today if I had already known.
Okay.
Thank you. So I don't know who that was for. This could be either. That was the only thing that I saw that I had a question about.
Any other questions?
Kathy, question for you. You may not know this. This may be more of a Jimmy question than a Kathy question. Our town vehicles for all departments, when there's gas for those vehicles, is that something that we track as to each individual vehicle? Can we do that? Are we doing that?
Yes.
May I?
Go ahead.
Where Gas and Go is taking the pumps and everything out in July. So we ended up going back to Valero Gas. And with the Valero Gas part of it, it's driven off each individual access code. And the bill comes back with that person's name on it with exactly the same thing that they purchased off that card. And it's only fuel that's related.
Okay.
So it used to be, and I don't know if it's still the same, they had like a code. Do they still have to key in the mileage on the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay.
And do we get a copy of that mileage?
I get it when we get the bill in. Yeah. Okay. I think it's on the receipt also. I'm not sure. Is it on the receipt?
Yeah. You have to enter the odometer reading first and then the individual code for that, okay. That user. It prints on the receipt.
Any other questions? Okay, let's move along to attorney report, Mr. Sturgill.
Okay. I've got for you all tonight the three resolutions that I know that will be looked at for the meeting on April 22nd.
One I kind of sprung on you. I was getting ready to tell you, but look, you're on. Well, I included you in on the email. So.
You did. So I've got them all. And each one of them's a little bit different. But at the same time, I wanted you all to have time to look at them. And that way, if there was anything additional, special that needed to be added to any of the individual resolutions, would be more than happy to include that. I believe the one act was 10-time state champions now, 10 consecutive years.
And yeah. I'm thinking the forensic is 4.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to check to see if it's consecutive.
Right. Because I know they won back in 2018 and
the
couple of years.
The four of six, so I don't know how many is consecutive.
But I wanted to get the general form down and then to be able to specialize it over the next month.
I would like for us to kind of look these over and then have Jimmy at our regular meeting in April to have it ready for us to sign. I think that putting it in the frame like we've done the last couple of times has been very nice, and I'd like to be able to do it that way for those.
We'll have to put out lots of chairs.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big meeting.
It's going to be a big crowd.
And we'll frame for both of them, the one act.
It'll be three. Forensics, one act, and girls basketball. Yeah.
So I got those done. Also spent actually several days looking at the additional animal ordinances to see how we can better update those. I don't have anything currently to present to council tonight, but I have been doing research on that and should be able to follow up on that in the near future. And that's all I have.
So if everybody will just look over these, and if you have any questions or thoughts, let Will know. And then, like I said, if you all could have that ready for signature at the original meeting, that way it can be framed and ready for a nice presentation on the 22nd. We appreciate it. Yep, 22nd. That would be great. I think that makes a difference when it looks nice like that, and they'll be able to take it back to the school and display it.
So we're going to vote on the 8th?
No. We'll just sign. We'll just sign it so it'll be ready for the vote.
But it's going to be voted the 22nd. But it's already going to be done to be presented, is what he's saying.
We have a special call meeting then?
Yes. I called a special call meeting at the last meeting. Yeah. So.
I'm behind.
Yeah, so April the 22nd is special call. Okay, any questions for Mr. Sturgill? Thank you for getting that. Yeah, I sent that email last night, and you're already on it, so I appreciate that. Okay, moving along, the next item is new business A. We have a fiscal year 2024-2025 budget review.
I originally had this balanced, and so I have kind of a clean slate to work at, but then I got updates on our health insurance, which has gone up, so it's thrown me off a little bit. Sherry helped me remember that part of things. So it's not 100% balanced, but it's a good work in
progress. It's a work in progress.
So this is just the first original that we get for us to go and start looking at?
Yes.
Okay.
And this does include a 350 increase for, 1350 for 1st of January.
Mm-hmm.
It does show a rather large increase for C&W. I think it's like 36,000.
It went up to 30-something.
6,000 more. $35,628 more from last year. So that's explain this, but we're going to work through it.
Yeah, I think this is something that we'll have to
spend some time on.
Okay.
Questions regarding that right now? Okay, we'll move on to old business. A, service agreement for solid waste collection. Hot topic. Here in the town of Coburn, I would like to bring it up so we can talk about a few concerns that have been brought up. Of course, tonight's not a voting meeting, but we want to make any changes. We can give suggestions in order for Jimmy to bring this back for a vote at our next meeting.
I'm just glad we started rolling it out now and not making it mandatory in July and saying this is it. So we've got some time to adjust on it.
The first concern, which isn't as major, but it was brought up by a business owner. This business owner has cans, does not have room there for a dumpster, and goes through quite a bit of cardboard. It's my understanding that this cardboard is always broken down and placed with the cans. So the way this is worded now, we do not pick up any cardboard. I feel that, especially if a business, you know, if that's part of what they've got in their stock and that kind of stuff, and they've got a bunch of cardboard, that we need to revisit the statement that says that we will not pick up any cardboard containers. I think that, in my opinion, as long as these cardboard boxes are broken down and placed with their receptacles, we should consider picking it up. Yes.
I guess what I was trying to put out there was if the cardboard keeps the
can from empty.
From being empty, right. I understand.
Then that's what I was
right.
Right.
And that's what I was hoping for. So.
Which line is it? Which bullet?
Oh, God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Fourth up. So it just says, customers shall refrain from packing cardboard containers or other materials in the can. But then also it says that they'll only pick up items in the can. So I think that if we are saying it's okay if they break down their cardboard boxes and place it by the can, that needs to be specified.
And we're not using the cardboard boxes as trash containers.
Right.
That makes so. I guess it would have to be that the boxes are broken down flat
and placed beside of the receptacle.
Does that make sense? And that would also, Carlos asked that about a TV box. And so, if he had a big screen TV box, if he broke it down flat and put it beside of his trash can, that we would pick it up and haul it off. Does that sound?
Yeah, but you got to consider too, if they don't weight it down, whatever during the winds, it's going to be elsewhere.
But I do feel like that an empty box, a flat empty box, should be able to some, you know, and it's in there that if your trash is rolling down the road, it's your responsibility to bring it back. So I think that would fall under that.
I could put in our two cardboard boxes broken down can be placed beside
as long as
the resident's responsibility ensure it doesn't get blown.
Yes.
Something to that effect.
I think that would be sufficient.
I think that would fix that part.
As far as cardboard.
And especially for the businesses that they're the only ones that actually has questioned that, because some of them don't have dumpsters and they get their boxes in.
I've had some residents call and ask about it.
Yeah, so if they're not using it,
it'll be a lot of big screen TVs bought.
You never know. Christmas time, you see them.
Yeah.
And so, before we move on to this thing, so with us putting all this into play, and when our town employee came and talked to us about the trash and the heaviness of some of these cans and the flimsiness of some of our cans, our trash trucks that we bought were designed to lift these cans that we are giving out for our people to use. And we're not going to pick up nothing but ours because we don't want to be responsible for the arms crushing these other trash cans. So that being said, we're going to have to start doing that regular. If it is a green trash can, that trash can needs to be loaded and let the machine lift it and empty it, instead of us reaching into the trash cans and pulling out the bags and throwing them in the thing. That defeats the purpose of what those machines were bought for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, sorry, but my opinion is it's great, but we can't really enforce it and say this is the reasoning as to why we are mandating you use this can if that's not what it's being, if they're not doing it.
Yeah. It's going to make it hard.
Okay, let's go back to square one, guys. When we bought the first truck, what we discussed at that point in time was that we would give each citizen of Coburn a trash can.
Correct.
Which we have offered to each citizen of Coburn.
Right.
You know, we were not mandating any additional second trash can. You don't have to buy one. You know, for the town of Coburn to issue a second trash can at no cost to the customer is going to be cost prohibitive to the town, particularly since your finances are not where they need to be. So going back to originally when we discussed this and we got the first truck, what we discussed was furnishing everybody the first trash can. And then after that, you know, we take no responsibility whatsoever for any trash can that the customer uses out there. If our vehicle crushes that can, it's the homeowner's responsibility. You know, they can use the cans they want to. There are plastic cans out there, and I actually have one, you know, at my house, which I don't use. But, I mean, you know, there are trash cans out there identical to what we have that, you know, a lot of people in this town already have. And, you know, those are capable of being picked up by this trash can or by the trash truck itself. Now, to mandate that somebody buy a can, I can't see that. But to say that, you know, we're going to give you 2, 3, 4 cans, we can't afford to do that.
No.
So it goes back to, you know, the person putting the trash at the curbside bears responsibility for their containers themselves. That's where we started out with this thing. That's where we need to stay.
So when we do this and our guys are putting their trash cans, say a metal trash can on our lifter and the prongs come out and it squishes it flat and it sets it back down,
it's
then that's their
responsibility.
Fault. So that was, I was going to go to that because the first one, the first pullback we had was when the first contract went out that said that if it got stolen, if this and that and the other happened, we were going to charge you for it. So a lot of people said, I'm not going to do that, because how can I stop somebody from stealing my trash can? So that was,
well, that
was part of the problem.
True,
I know,
but never said that on the paperwork.
It was anything that happened to it, it was going to be their responsibility. That's basically what it was saying. But anyway, so we reworded it to where normal wear and tear, outside of normal wear and tear of the trash can, that they was not going to be responsible for it. Normal wear and tear. And so that was to alleviate that first thing where everybody took it, that it meant that they were going to have to pay for it if something ever happened to it. So we kind of tried to word around that. Well, then the next thing that I run into is each additional can. If I needed another can, $10 a month at $120 a year, that's a little much. And I could see doing like a $25 deposit or a $50 deposit for a secondary can, that when you move or you leave, you bring the trash can back, and we pick it up, and we give you your deposit back.
What's the average cost of a 96-gallon trash can?
And were we following somebody else's kind of another town?
I don't remember right off. I think somewhere.
And were they charging $10 a month for an extra can, the other town that we mirrored from?
Charging more.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. I know we did look at other towns, and then also PSA we looked at.
Yeah, PSA is $15 a can.
Right.
Well, their pickup is $15.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of what Jeff's saying and Sharon, I'm just going to throw something out there and I want everybody to kind of give your thoughts. Okay, so the second bullet says only town provided cans will be picked up by the town. No other receptacle will be picked up. No bagged trash will be picked up. This bullet, only town provided cans will be picked up by the town. We're saying that now if they have a can, let's talk about if they have an additional can that they use, we're still using the arm to pick it up, but if it's damaged, the town is not responsible for it. They're responsible for if they choose to use a can that is not the town's and it's damaged, then they are responsible for it.
We've got one of the guys in the truck back there asking to do a question. I think we need a...
So one of the trucks, it has arms that are grabbed, mm-hmm. but then the other truck, it's just like a lift bar that if it's not one of our cans, it won't lift it.
Okay. Is that the second trash truck that was purchased?
Yes. That's the last one that was purchased.
So the last one is the one that's just a lift?
Yes. And it won't lift any other cans but ours.
And so that puts you guys back to having to manually do everything?
Yes.
Even if it's a can that's similar?
If the space is the same, where the arm can fit in, yes. But if the space isn't the same, and it's just like a hair off, it won't work.
Most of those 96-gallon commercial-type trash cans are made for that. So whoever wishes, and I think one of our store owners has a can just like ours, just different color, because they've asked us to call and said, could they use that? And I'm like, let's get through paperwork here first and I'll get back with you on it. But it's a situation.
I didn't realize that the arms were different. One had an arm and one had a lift.
One does this and the other one does that.
The one that goes upward with the lift, how does it adhere to the trash can?
You know where the metal bar is? It just kind of comes up and scoops and then lifts.
And the other one has an actual arm.
Two arms that come around and helps the trash can and then lifts. And that one, we use that. A lot of these houses, they'll have like 55-gallon barrels. So we use that on those. But when you're using the other truck,
you're having to do it manually.
Yeah. And then you run back in the risk of touching animal feces and sticking yourself with a needle or something or anything. You cut yourself on a
mirror, cut glass, yeah. That was the reason we were trying to fix this to where you guys were not endangered on the trash truck when you're picking up the garbage to keep you from having to handle it by hand. And that was the purpose of all of what we're trying to get done. And we've just got to get all the little bugs worked out of it to make it work. And I know that the other town that did it here in the county, they said it took them a while. Is that correct, Will?
That's what Jimmy said.
It took them a while to get a...
To get it implemented and to get it running smooth, correct?
To get it to work. And so, you know, we're back visiting our paperwork and trying to get that worked out. And a secondary trash can, if the... I don't have a problem if it picks it up and it works and it's good, it's all good, and it doesn't tear up the trash can, that'd be fine.
The issue is the truck that only does the lift. That's the issue.
Then we would have a problem.
Opens up and dumps.
Mm.
So.
My understanding when we purchased the second truck was that it was identical to the first one. So I guess that's the first problem is I was just under the assumption that both trucks were operating the same.
I did too.
So
back to this. And I do, I think that if I was going to rent a can and I was going to spend $120 a year to rent one, Joe just showed me some I could go buy for $70 and they look just like mine. And you said those that are like ours works.
For the most part, as long as they're the same dimensions.
Right. So if I had one that's the same dimensions and I wanted to purchase it, then it would work. And that may be something that you put in that is the dimensions of our trash cans. If your trash, if you go to purchase a secondary can for our machines to lift, this is the size.
So
somewhere in there we've
got somewhere we've got medium. We've got to put in here, of course, that everybody's getting their one can, okay? If you are purchasing another can, and you all, we've got an attorney down here, he can help us here. And another can, it needs to be specific to whatever.
The same dimensions
of the town issued can.
What I understand from what the gentleman's saying is not so much the dimensions.
It's got to be made the same at the bottom.
Made the same from what, you know, Jimmy and I were talking, correct me if I'm wrong here, or if we're wrong. Basically, when this lift goes up off of the truck, what it's doing, it's adhering to the handle portion of that dumpster itself,
yes.
And then it's taking it on over into the back end of the truck, correct?
Yes.
Not the handle, the little bar at the bottom, right?
Yes, into that bar.
It's a little bar at the bottom of the can.
Even if it's another 96-gallon can, but that space
is not the same,
then it won't work. So that space literally has to be the same spacing that we have.
That makes it really tough.
Yeah.
Since we purchased those, if the owner wanted to purchase theirs,
that's what I'm thinking. Sell them.
Have them pay up front and we place the order and do it, or they can do a leasing option, which would be more expensive, but they're paying by the month or whatever you want.
I like that.
I think the best option would be for them to purchase, us to come up with a price for them to purchase an additional can.
And if they purchase it, I know all of ours are numbered, serial numbered, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then on our main paperwork, you know, serial number, blah, 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 was sold to, and then it becomes sold property. And then we don't have to worry about collecting that back up if they do move, because we have paperwork that says they bought it.
But I would rather them be able to.
We've got the seal that says Town of Coburn, so if they take it with them, go someplace else.
But it's got a serial number on it that they can have a piece of paper that says.
It's going to be theirs to take with them wherever they want to go.
Right.
Well,
because they're going to buy it.
Right.
Town seal on
it. It'll be all right. I mean, it has a serial number besides our seal being on it. It has a serial number on there. That serial number is the one that would be the whether it's been bought or if it was a leased one.
Jeff, tomorrow, if you would. I know you don't have anything to do tomorrow, so you know, what can I say? If you can maybe take a photo of what he's talking about and maybe text that to each individual council member so we can get a visual of what we're talking about. Because, you know, there's nothing we can do tonight anyway.
Mm-mm. No, but we can still talk about it. And, I mean, we have some more ideas. I would rather... If it has to be that made can, I would rather give them the option of buying the can as opposed to charging them $10 extra a month.
Unless they just want it.
For having a second.
You can buy a serial number on it too,
can you? Do what?
You can buy a can without having a serial number on it.
Yeah, when those cans came in, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
they came in blank and we put the serial numbers on them. We put the logos on them, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they buy this can, purchase a can, and trash truck picks it up. You know, it might be good for a week, it might be for two weeks.
Let's take a 3-minute recess.
Is it our responsibility or their responsibility?
Yeah. Okay, let's take a couple minute recess so we can look at a trash can.
We're going to trash can.